Some of you here may remember a movie that people have enjoyed for decades. The movie is titled, Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus. However, what you may not know is that the title of that movie was taken from a letter that was written in a newspaper back in 1897. In 1897, a man by the name of Francis P. Church responded to a letter from an 8-year-old girl named Virginia who had written to the editorial page of the New York Sun. Now, why did an 8-year-old girl write a letter to the editorial page of the New York Sun? Well, her friends had told her that Santa Claus does not exist. Therefore, she wanted the opinion of a person from a well-known newspaper. Well, Francis P. Church was given the task of responding to this letter. I don't have time to read the whole letter. It's somewhat lengthy, but allow me to read a few tidbits here and there. Francis Church writes, Virginia, your little friends are wrong. They have been affected by the skepticism of a skeptical age. They do not believe except they see. They think that nothing can be which is not comprehensible by their little minds. The most real things in the world are those that neither children nor men can see. Nobody can conceive or imagine all the wonders there are unseen. Only faith can view and picture the supernal beauty and glory beyond. Now, as I said, I could read more from this letter, but what I have shared with you suffices to make my point. Simply put, Francis Church is not trying to prove that there really is a Santa Claus. Instead, he is stressing that many people have been negatively influenced by the skepticism of their age. In other words, in 1897, there were many people who would believe only what they could touch and see and understand. They would believe in only those things that made sense to their little minds. Francis Church was correct in pointing out that such a view of reality results in us denying anything that we can't immediately touch, see, or comprehend. Well, sad to say, things haven't changed much since 1897. In fact, they've gotten worse. Many people are still skeptical about many things they can't understand. And worst of all, this skepticism has moved people to reject the very words of the living God. You see, Holy Scripture is God's Word. And in His Word, He asks us to believe in many things that we cannot touch or see or understand. God asks us to believe in many things that we can't comprehend with our little minds. God wants us to live by faith. Faith in His Word. And God's Word shows us that there is so much more to reality than we can perceive with our sinful reason and limited senses. Still, many people in our society would rather trust in their skepticism. And sometimes, even we are tempted to do the same. We Christians also struggle with this sin. You see, sometimes we are tempted to doubt God's Word when the unbelievers of this world mock us for believing in things that to them seem to be nothing more than foolish fairy tales. With that said, the title for today's sermon is, Yes, Virginia, there is a hell and a heaven. Our scripture readings for today teach us about hell and heaven. God wants us to believe that these are real places where people will live for all eternity. But many in our modern world are skeptical about this. For example, some believe that God doesn't even exist. Of course, if there is no God, then we're here by accident, products of chance and circumstance. And if this is true, then there is no life after death either, and therefore no heaven and no hell. On the other hand, there are some people who do believe in God, but they don't believe that God would ever send anybody to hell. That wouldn't be fair, they say. A loving God would never do that, they say. Never mind that God's own word says that some people will end up in hell because they refuse to trust God's word. Of course, there are still others who do believe that some will end up in hell, and yet these same people refuse to believe that Jesus is the only person who can save us from hell. You see, many people think like this: as long as you're a good person and you don't sin too much, well, then you will go to heaven. You see, Jesus was just one of many religious people who taught that as long as you mind your own business and love people as best you can, then God will overlook your sins. Now, there are several problems with this popular way of thinking about Jesus and salvation. First, the Bible clearly teaches that Jesus is not simply one of many human teachers who taught us how to be good enough to get to heaven. No, my friends. In our reading from Revelation, Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." Scripture teaches that Jesus is God in the flesh, and that he came into the world to save sinners who cannot save themselves from hell. That takes us to the second reason that the modern view of Jesus and salvation is so wrong. You see, the Bible clearly teaches that we are enemies of God by nature, and there is nothing we can do to make up for our sins and save ourselves from hell. The idea that some people are more sinful than us and they're the ones going to hell, but we're good enough and therefore we're going to heaven, that is a modern myth from the pit of hell. No amount of pious moral advice will save us, because by nature, our hearts are at odds with God. What hope is there for us then? Jesus. Jesus went to the cross to suffer hell in our place, and then he rose from the dead so that we might have new life with God. Jesus is God in the flesh who was born to save us sinners who deserve nothing but eternal hell. But many today refuse to believe that we are all sinners who deserve hell. Many refuse to believe that it was God who actually hung on the cross. Many refuse to believe that this same Jesus rose from the dead. And many also refuse to believe that this same Jesus will return to judge the living and the dead. As Francis Church wrote, "They think that nothing can be which is not comprehensible by their little minds. The most real things in the world are those that neither children nor men can see." Yes, Virginia, there is a hell. Our first reading from the book of Revelation gives us a picture of the day of resurrection and final judgment. It teaches that all who have ever died will be raised to life. Now, some people will have their names written in the book of life. What does that mean? It means that you have received forgiveness of sins and new life from Jesus. Now, later on, the Apostle John says that such people will be judged based on what they had done. Now, at first, this seems to contradict what we Lutherans teach. Aren't we saved by grace? What does John mean when he says that on the final day, God will save us based on what we've done? Well, what we need to understand is that John does not mean that we've earned our salvation by our good lives. No. What this text means is that God looks at us based on the kind of life we lived. In other words, did we live our lives as believers or did we live our lives as unbelievers? Those whose names are written in the book of life had been saved by God, and therefore they lived lives of repentance and faith in Jesus. Those whose names are in the book of life lived in this world confessing their sins and trusting in Christ alone for salvation. So when John says that we will be judged based on what we have done, he is talking about the life of repentance and faith. Simply put, the only way a person can live a good life before God is through faith in Jesus. Only Jesus can wash away the guilt of our sin. Only Jesus can clothe us with His holiness, the holiness of His own perfect life. And only Jesus can produce truly good works in our lives. Towards the end of our reading from Revelation, it talked about people who had done various sins. Now, you need to realize that we have done all those sins and more, if not in actuality, then at least in our thought life and in our hearts. But the reason God will not see our sin is that the blood of Jesus has washed that guilt away. And He has given us His own righteous life. But those who have denied Christ, those who have refused to hear God's word about their sin, for them their sin will remain and it will be exposed for all to see on the final day. In fact, John goes on to say that those whose names were not written in the book of life, he says that they were thrown into the lake of fire, which he calls the second death. Here John is clearly teaching that some people will end up in hell. But they don't go to hell because God wants them to go there, nor do they go to hell because they're worse sinners than we are. You see, they end up in hell because they doubt God's word and they reject the salvation that Jesus longed to give them. Sadly, unbelievers either refuse to believe what God says about their sin, or they refuse to believe what God says about Jesus being the only Savior from their sin. However, those who do confess their sin and trust in Christ are those who have been saved. As God said in our reading from Revelation, "To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life." What does that mean? It means that God convicts us of sin and He shows us that we deserve hell because He wants to make us thirsty. God convicts us of sin and shows us that we deserve hell so that we will thirst for the forgiveness and new life that only Jesus can give us. And the good news is that we can drink of this water without cost. It is a free gift. With that said, allow me to say just a bit more about hell. Why does John call hell the second death? Well, the first death is physical death. But guess what? Physical death is not our worst problem. Why? Because all people will rise again and will live forever. So the question is, where and with whom will you live forever? Sadly, in this skeptical world, many refuse to believe that there's life after death. Or at least they simply ignore that fact. We tend to think that this life is all that matters. And when that happens, even we Christians are tempted to think like this. You know, life is short. You only live once. So I better do what I want to do now. I better live as I please now. I better fulfill my every desire now. Because when I die, that's the end. But that's not true at all. Physical death is not the end. Those who refuse to believe God's word will experience the second death, which is eternal life separated from God's love. The second death is living forever apart from God. With that understood, we need to realize that hell is not part of God's good creation. God doesn't want people to end up in hell. The only reason hell exists is that we turn our backs from God and want nothing to do with Him. In our second reading, the Apostle Peter makes it clear that God wants all people to repent and be saved. In fact, Jesus suffered hell on the cross so that no one would have to go to hell. Hell is not God's idea. It's the idea of sinners. But if hell is not God's idea and God doesn't want anyone to go there, why do people end up in hell? Because of sinful skepticism. People refuse to believe God's word. As a result, they want nothing to do with the God who does speak to us. But many people will be surprised on the final day. Some who refuse to believe in hell will find out that it does exist after all. And others who think they can get to heaven apart from Jesus alone, sadly will have to hear these words from Jesus' own mouth. In our gospel reading, we heard Jesus say to the unbelievers, "I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, you evildoers." Now, it might surprise us to hear such harsh words coming from the mouth of Jesus. Why does Jesus speak so harshly about the future fate of unbelievers? He speaks this way because He loves you. Jesus shows us the tragic future of unbelievers so that we who are alive now can have a different future. Basically, Jesus is saying to you, it doesn't have to end up that way. Repent and trust in me now. Follow me now and for all eternity. My friends, here's the good news. Yes, Virginia, there is a heaven. My friends, Jesus has used His words to convict us of sin this morning. He has also used His words of gospel to give us new hearts that trust in Him. The good news is that Jesus died for you, and He conquered death for you. Jesus has washed away the guilt of your sin. Jesus has given you the certain hope of heaven. Because of that, you can look forward to the final day. Because on that day, God will not see your sin. He will see Jesus and all that He's done for you. Having said that, what is heaven? Well, first of all, heaven is not merely a future reality. As I alluded to in our children's sermon, do you realize that we already have part of heaven right now? When you were baptized, heaven came to you. When you hear the word of God or read it, heaven is speaking to you. And when you come and receive Christ's body and blood in the Lord's Supper, heaven enters your mouth. You see, the real joy of heaven is not merely that we get to live forever. The real joy of heaven is that we get to live forever with our true love. And our true love is God. And you have a love relationship with God right now. One day you will see your true love face to face. One day you will experience heaven in all its glorious fullness. On the final day, Christ will raise your bodies from death, and you will be given glorified bodies, bodies without sin, bodies that will live forever in the new creation that God will make for you on that day. Heaven means that you will have a perfect physical body without sin. Heaven means that you will live forever in a perfect physical world without any of the problems we see in our world today. It will be just like Adam and Eve in the garden before the fall into sin. My friends, you will bask in God's love forever, and you will know His joy and His peace for all eternity. I can't wait for the day when we will experience heaven with all of our senses. But until that day, we live by faith. Faith in God's Word. Here again, the words of Francis Church. Only faith can view and picture the supernal beauty and glory beyond. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding,